OC and Hack at ESPN 700, live at Proper Brewing Company. Kyle Beckerman's going to join us at 5, and they're going to roll out a brand new beer down here called Beckerman's Brew. We've got T-shirts to give away, we've got prizes galore, and we've got Jody Genesee joining us on our IM Flash hotline to talk about the Utah Jazz. Jody, what's up?
Yo, I'm just walking around. Get this. So we're in Cleveland. I'm wearing my Pittsburgh Steelers jacket walking through Cleveland right now, and I am mighty proud.
Oh, boy.
Okay. I don't know if that's are people treating you right wearing that jacket?
I'm getting some fun looks, so I might use some of your MMA skills on some of these Clevelandites. But, I mean, I've seen the fight that the Browns have, so I'm not too worried about it.
Very nice, Jody. All right, let's get stuck into things. The Jazz seem to be kind of creating a fair bit of separation now between them and the Clippers when it seemed as though, what was it, a handful of nights ago, the blockbuster showdown with the Clippers and the Jazz here in Salt Lake City. What's going on with the Clips?
Yeah, well, the Clippers, I mean, they've got a lot of skill and a lot of talent, but they've had some injury issues. And I think that just, you know, they have some chemistry issues right now as well. So they lose that game to the Bucks last night, which helped the Jazz. And Utah really did a great job against them after falling behind early on Monday night. Get a nice win there. So, the Jazz are doing exactly what they need to do, capitalize on the Clippers kind of slipping.
When we look at this team and where it's at heading into the road trip, do they have to get all of the games on this Eastern Conference road trip aside from maybe tonight? Is tonight a more forgivable loss because it's to Cleveland, but every one of these others on the swing, you got to get them?
No, I think they do. Yeah, I mean, I'm not anticipating a win tonight. A win tonight would be fabulous, but I think that they can sustain a 2-2 road trip. If last night was their only win on this road trip, then you're in trouble because they still have some. Like the schedule is pretty ugly even after tonight for the Jazz. So they really need to, I think, split the Chicago, Indiana. Those two games, if they can get both of them, fantastic. Then you're, if they go 3-1 on this road trip, honestly, I think it almost doesn't clinch it, but it puts them really in a favorable position for that number four spot.
Talk to us about the performance against the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons, who, prior to the Jazz coming into town, had some success, especially at home. And you watch that game, and the Jazz just kept it at a 10-point lead. Rudy obviously having a big impact with that. And then obviously Rodney Hood suffered an injury, I've heard.
Yeah, he's been having those knee issues, and it just keeps on rearing its ugly head. So he didn't look very good out there. It was a little bit gimpy. He's not going to play again tonight. Neither is Derek Favors. So, but yeah, Joey, I mean, the good thing for the Jazz is Joe Ingles has been playing well. Alec Burke has come in and spelled them nicely in the wing. And Dante Exum is really coming on strongly, and he's playing a little bit more shooting guard too. So they can sustain that injury to Rodney Hood. Obviously, they're going to be much better with him. But that was a really impressive win last night for the Jazz. And Detroit, it's funny, Stan Van Gundy, he's a straight shooter. So after the game, he said to the reporters, "Hey, you guys keep asking me if we've turned the corner." And his answer was, "Hell no." Because as soon as we think we turn the corner, we turn around and soil ourselves a couple times. And so that's what happened last night. They'd lost really big to Cleveland the previous night. And so the Pistons are just really inconsistent. And one thing about the Jazz is they've been playing really consistently. And so when you get that consistent defensive effort, and that's really what helped them last night, was the first half they were fantastic defensively. And so that really set the stage for a really nice win. And then they picked it up again in the fourth quarter.
There was an interesting headline on ESPN today, a nice piece about Rudy Gobert. And it says, "How the Utah Jazz built the next Bill Russell."
yeah, I saw
obviously
that.
You're talking about one of the all-time greats, and I know that it's to some extent clickbait, and they got me right.
But right.
How far from Rudy's ceiling, so to speak, is he still? I mean, as a defensive player, I think we can make a strong case that he's the defensive player of the year in the NBA. How much offensive growth is still expected of this guy?
I think quite a bit, because he still hasn't tapped into his – you watch him shoot at the practice facility, and he can drain those mid-range jumpers. You know, he'll go and goof off behind the three-point line, but he's hit very few, like three mid-range jumpers in his entire career so far. So that's a huge area where if he can develop that mid-range game where he can – like he said in that article and he said before, if he can translate it into – from practice into the game, which, I mean, for some people, that never happens. But if he can do that, then, wow, he really does become – I'm not going to call him Bill Russell. And I know it was Dennis Lindsay who said – they used that quote. That he said that they hope to build him into the Bill Russell of the Utah Jazz. And so nobody was saying that he's going to be Bill Russell, but that he could be that type of a player, a dominating defensive player – who can just really be your foundation for years to come. But yeah, no, that makes him like a really multi-tool player. And right now he's already an amazing defensive player. He's really like an underrated offensive player, if for no other reason because he helps run that pick and roll so well. And he's such a good screener, and he can roll, and now he's catching the ball and finishing. And so, you know, he's developed a couple more skills around the basket, some hook shots. He's got a little teardrop floater thing that he pulls out occasionally. So I think the next step for him is that mid-range jumper.
Jody, we had Gordy Chiesa on yesterday, and we touched base with the subject of resting players. And I'd love to hear your opinion on this. Obviously, George Hill still has a nagging toe injury. Derek Favors has got knee soreness. Rodney Hood seemed to not be able to maintain healthy status. How do the Jazz go about resting players with only 10-15 games left before the playoffs?
That makes it even more incumbent upon them to play well now and win and really try to get some distance between themselves and the Clippers. And if they get that lead up to 4 or 5, you're going to see George Hill sit for a little while. You're going to see some of these players sit for a little while, because then they can sustain some losses without it affecting their standings, because George Hill does need some rest. He's still playing on a gimpy toe. My philosophy, I understand why they do it. I don't like it. I think this is, you know, and player fans, it's a disservice to the fans, honestly. Karl Malone, and we have to go back to Karl and John. They played every night because they knew that people were driving down from Pocatello or from Evanston or from St. George or even from Sandy or Sugar House to see them play, and they bring in their kids, and they wanted to put on a good show for people, and they felt that responsibility. And so there's that factor where, you know, you want to please the fans, but there also is the factor that this is a business, and their business is to win, and win in the playoffs. And if their best opportunity is to win in the playoffs, you've got to be healthy. And so, you know, it's unfortunate, but sometimes resting these players gets them fresher and healthier for the playoffs. And so, really, the bigger issue here that I don't think anybody's talking about much is that the NBA season is too dang long. There's too many games. These back-to-backs are horrendous for players, not to mention sports writers. It just does nobody a service to have so many games, and especially 20 of the games are played in consecutive nights. That's just awful for everybody. And so the NBA, I know next year they're going to extend the length of the season, not the games, but the length that they're going to fit the games in. That will help a little bit to be able to give fewer back-to-backs. But honestly, I think if they were going to really do what was in the best interest of players and the game, they would chop the season down from 82 games to about 60.
Would players agree to less money if it meant playing 60 games instead of 82?
Let me use Stan Van Gundy's two words, hell no. No way. They wouldn't because, I mean, why would they? Because right now they can rest, rip off the fans, rest, and still get that money. So, I mean, they have no incentive.
Yeah. And ownership has no incentives to. Well, I think that we've probably heard worse. I don't know that even counts anymore in the grand scheme of things.
Okay.
I've got HBO at my house, so I'm not scared of it. No, it's one of those questions we're going to be debating. And look, we started talking about this what 4 or 5 years ago in the NBA, and we saw it trickle down into college bowl season this year when it came to guys sitting out instead of risking injury in a bowl game. So it's going to continue to trickle down. I mean, it's unavoidable. So I don't like it any more than you do, but it's one of those realities that fans are just going to have to learn to deal with, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. And I talked to a friend the other day. He lived in Washington, D.C. a couple of years ago. He went to a Wizards game. He said it was the Wizards against the Cavs. The guy next to him had spent $800 on tickets to bring him and his son to watch LeBron James, and LeBron sat that game out.
Ugh,
I mean, that's
not right.
That
makes feel right.
Yeah, that stinks. Before we let you go, are you a morning shower guy or are you an evening shower guy?
Oh, definitely morning. You got to get that
my man.
Day fresh.
Okay. Thank you.
That's Jody Gennessy, insider for the Des News Jazz Insider.
And, Jazz and
morning,
shower insider.
And morning shower person. Yes. Thanks, Jody.
All right, guys.
Morning shower guy. I think, like you said when I asked you this question and you said, let's put it up on the poll, you said, I'm 99% sure I'm going to be a minority here.
Yeah, so I'm going to be overruled on this one. I thought, I like going to bed clean.
You like, so the difference you have, I need a shower in the morning, quite frankly, to wake me up.
Look, how many things do you need to wake up, Tom?
Because you shower need a shower and a coffee.
You need coffee. You need what? You need to walk the dog.
I just like walking the dog when the sun's out, you know, bring the guns out.
You need Baz to fire up early in the morning. You got to go shovel some snow, and that'll help you wake up. How many things do you need to wake up, Tom?
What are you saying? Are you calling me mentally weak?
Yes.
Listen, I need a shower and a coffee. That's what I need, all right? Bite
okay.
me. I'm not the only person that walks this planet that needs those two things, all right?
Oh, so just do you go to bed dirty then?
No.
Yeah, you do.
Nah.
Do you shower before bed?
Nah.
So you got filthy body soil slept in sheets.
Oh, you know, occasionally they go a bit yellow. If I don't wash them for a while.
Do you wear a t-shirt to bed?
Nah. Sometimes I put on the trunks. Got some Ralph Lauren ones, actually, quite comfy.
I don't understand the idea of going to bed with, like, the day's worth of activity still on you.
So honestly, like, I've never actually been able to question whether or not I'm a morning shower guy, because when I wake up, I've got the biggest mohawk you'll ever see, and I can't fix it unless water hits it.
Uh-huh.
So I life has forced me to be a morning shower guy.
Okay.
I can't actually be an evening. I can be both, but it's one or the other.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, hold on. Let me clarify. If I work out, which I know in the question we said no working out. If I work out after we work here, I shower again, you know,
of course,
I don't go
yeah.
to bed sweaty. But, yeah, if I had to choose one or the other with no workout in the middle, then I'm morning.
Like, let's say that it's, you know, Sunday afternoon, you don't work out. You go to bed with your full day of golfing on a Sunday, like with
the barbecue that you ate for
Sunday dinner. You go to bed with that smoky smell on, I mean, it's just, I don't like it, Tom. I don't like it. I'm a nighttime shower guy.
That's all right, and all the best to you. Okay,
I know. That's fine.
I'm not gonna judge you.
At OC and Hackett, go vote on the poll. We'll update it towards the end of the show today. Utah Jazz in Cleveland tonight, taking on LeBron James and the Cavaliers. Gordon Hayward is good in these games. Look, in my mind, one of the reasons that Gordon Hayward is a bona fide all-star is because Gordon Hayward is good in these types of games.